welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review another wine from Kirkland, their signature line. Specifically, this time their Barolo from Italy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
When your eye meets the sky, and you don't know the words, sing amore.
That was really good.
This was really bad.
That's good bad, yes.
It's Italy tonight.
It is. On tonight's show, we have a wine from a region that we have not done before. I don't believe we've done a Barolo.
I think we've been in Lange.
Yeah.
L-A-N-G-H.
We've done Brunellos. We've done all sorts of stuff. We've done everything else from Italy, but not in Barolo. And you're like, well, that's an expensive wine, Rob. Well, does it have to be? It doesn't. If you go to Costco, at Costco, they have the Kirkland Signature brand. And you go, ooh. Is this made by Alison Krauss? Fuck no, it's not. It's not because it's from Italy, and she's not allowed outside the United States because
this
of her parole.
This is Alison Krauss. Why do you make fun of me, wine guy?
I'm not going to say things like that about a lady. In air quotations. Because she's a total hack, that's why.
I'm a winemaker.
You're not. You're not. No.
Costco says I am.
No, you're not. You make vile things. You're just like Madame Curie. She's the Madame Curie of winemaking.
She's very famous.
She is very famous. And so is Alison Krauss.
For making wine.
I made her famous, but that's okay.
No.
On tonight's show, the winemaker for the Kirkland Signature Barolo is Simone Tabfino, whatever. He's up on the... It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's not that exciting. But the winery that's making this wine, and I have to give credit to the reverse wine snob, because the worst reverse wine snob is a nerd. And the gentleman or lady, I don't know who they are.
It's a person.
Knows that there is a search engine that you can put in on any wine from Italy. That there's a tag that goes, you know, along... That's on the
DOCG neck. Package.
Yeah. And it has serial numbers and stuff like that on there. Well, that stuff actually, you can plug that into a search engine and it'll tell you who made the wine. And so normally that's kind of stupid because it says that on the label, but not on a Kirkland Signature wine, it doesn't. It says Kirkland Signature. You're like, who the fuck made it? Did the Fry Brothers make this? No, they didn't. In fact, a very good winery from Piedmont made this wine.
Are they?
Well, I think so.
Maybe.
The reverse wine snob seems to think so, but... It's, and I'm going to butcher this, but Fontana Freda.
Fontana Freda.
Fontana Freda made this one.
That's all one word.
Yes. Fontana Freda is a Barolo producer. Currently, wine.com sells their Serra Lunga d'Alba Barolo for 60 of your American dollars, 92 from The Spectator, 92 from James Seckling.
Okay.
But this Barolo that they made on the side costs $19.99 in Ohio, so that means it's $3 in Illinois. Very cheap. It's under $20. For a Barolo, just to try something from Barolo for $20 is a bit of a treat.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Barolo is made of the Nebbiolo grape. Nebbiolo is not something commonly we see in the United States. Well, made in the United States anyway. It's not that popular in the fact that it's a bit... It's a hard sell. People that love Italian wines often gravitate towards Barolo, but they don't necessarily.
Sangiovese.
Sangiovese is a bit of a different grape. Nebbiolo, for instance, the glass you use it in is out of a Pinot Noir glass. You have an aromatic glass. This is a full-bodied wine, typically. It is a wine that is meant to be aged, typically, unless it's made by Bola. it's a wine that is made to be collected, savored, enjoyed. It is one of the granddaddies. So if you're thinking Bordeaux, you're thinking Brunello, you're thinking Barolo, you're thinking Northern Rhone, you're thinking Burgundy. It's in that same, it's in that cloth. It's rarefied air, you know?
Everybody has their opinion on which wine to cellar.
Yeah.
But
I don't buy Barolos.
This is one of the ones to cellar.
Scott does.
Scott, I have some.
You have some. You just bought some. That cost a lot more than $1,999. But I spend my money on Bordeaux. Why? Because I enjoy Cabernet more than I do Nebbiolo. Not to say, though, I don't enjoy Nebbiolo. I just rarely, rarely drink it. So this wine, we have figured out, because of someone else doing the work, who it's made by. But Barolo itself, as you know, often in Italy, there are certain rules for a wine from Barolo, for many of their spots. So for Barolo, you know, normally there's some sort of aging requirement. Barolos, they require 38 months of aging before release. And at least 18 months of those 38 months have to be on oak. It's a little bit similar. Think about this, folks. We haven't talked about this in a long time. But how Rioja works. So you have Crianza, Reserva, Gran Reserva.
Yep.
This is very similar to the Gran Reserva. I believe Gran Reserva is 18 months, isn't it?
I think so.
At least. So think of it in those terms. All right. If you need to quantify it to something else. So we're excited about this wine, a high-level wine at a value price. And it's currently available right now at Costco for $19.99 all day long. I would have bought some more, but I spent all my money on Panay Connect. So, which was a good choice.
Well, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Although if it's good, I'll be back to buy some more. That, you know.
The Panay Connect is probably going to be gone.
No. I meant this. I've bought my lot of Panay Connect.
Until the next time you go to Costco.
Damn fucking straight.
If it's there and you see it again for $80, you're not even going to call back. You're just going to do it. Do it.
I would never do such a thing. That would be bad.
You've never bought expensive wine without her knowing about it.
Did that cost $35? Yeah. Part of it.
At least.
The bottom quarter of the bottle did.
At least, Rob says to himself, his eyes will look up to say and say, yes.
Did you spend $80 on those two bottles? I spent $80 on one of those two bottles.
Sort of.
The other bottle cost $110, but that's okay. Let's not focus on the math. Just focus on the fact that you don't know what the math is.
It's so complicated.
I know. Maths.
The maths.
Becky proves her. Yeah, she's not on the show, obviously. But it's like, if you think that I bought Grand Cru Bordeaux for $80 for two bottles, then we have a lack of understanding of Grand Cru Bordeaux, but that's okay. I ain't drinking this Cru Bourgeois. No. Even though, hell, man, they sell that at $50 a bottle anymore. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Kirkland Signature Barolo, but we already covered who it's made by, but we'll just pretend like it's made by Kirkland Signature.
Fontana Freda.
Yes, Fontana Freda. So.
In the glass, it's
the reverse wine snob gave it 9 points.
Nine.
Actually, he gave it 7. He gave taste 9. Okay. Value 3. Because he didn't have $20.
What?
He has advertisements on his website. I think he's making enough. He's almost probably as famous as the Penophile. John Thorzen.
Yeah. Thorzen.
Yeah. I think he can afford $20. Price 9. What a dick.
What? These are ratings out of 10? I don't.
It's just me pulling shit out of his balls. Anyway, primary flavors of Nebbiolo, folks. Raspberry, cherry, yep. Rose, tar, licorice. Bone dry, full bodied, high tannin, high acidity. So there should be a wine that has a lot going on, really, on the palate.
I think this one's going to demonstrate the acidity for sure. There's a lot of tartaric acid crystalline structure.
There are.
A lot. And it's not the densest.
No.
Looking wine.
But Nebbiolo should have a bit of a muted cranberry and be slightly translucent.
Talking about the coloring of cranberry, or you're talking about on the nose?
Yes.
The cranberry. Both.
Mostly in the visually. Once again, folks, a grand Barolo, are we expecting that to be, you know, somewhat opaque? No. It should be dark, but this is a cheap one. So we're looking at this as, I'm looking at this as Nebbiolo, all right? Just Nebbiolo.
It's, yeah.
I'm not thinking of this as a Barolo, even though it is, but I'm thinking of this, is this good Nebbiolo? That's really what my test is here.
You're not trying to exceed any expectations.
No.
You're just trying to keep the expectations low. You're trying to drive down everybody's thoughts of how good this is going to be.
Yes.
Mainly your own.
Yes, it's not Viognier, that's all I know.
Well, on the nose.
A cherry cordial.
And
a bit of a Robitussin element to it.
That's not very kind. I would go.
Time a tap? What the fuck you want to say? It has a cough syrup nose.
Like a smoky molasses.
Oh, okay. There you go. Smoky
yeah,
molasses.
That's nice.
How dare I?
I think that's a little more accurate than Robitussin.
No, you could say, yes, if you want to be smoky molasses, that's fine. There is a bit of licorice and a little bit of tar as well.
I'm getting a little bit of pepper.
I suppose. Purple drink.
You're just trying to keep your expectations low.
I am. Rose, not yet. There's not a lot of aromatics in this wine. It's a very slightly guttural, quasi-overripe nose. It's not bad, though.
I dated a person named Rose once. She wasn't very nice.
It's probably because of you.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Just wasn't very nice.
Did she not let you get on the door after the ship sunk? Is that what the problem was?
What?
Titanic. Kate Winslet's character's name was Rose.
Yeah, good.
You're here, there's nothing to fear, and I know... Scott, I would have let you get on the door with me, that's fine. And there would have been some shenanigans on that door, if you get my drift.
You know, I think I'm...
Cold water, though, shrinks it, you know?
We've talked about this before.
Why?
No, water would make the door get waterlogged and sink and not be as buoyant.
We never talked about Titanic.
We did talk about Titanic. I've never seen that movie.
Is that why our numbers are so low?
Okay. I've never.
Hey, you're fine not to see that movie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's a good movie.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but at the end, the fucking boat sinks.
It does.
I hate knowing the end of something, whether it's a book, a movie, or a ball game. Freaking don't tell me a score when I'm trying to tape delay and watch it later.
Well, you know the end.
Fucking hate
that. You know the end of every night of your sex life. It's disappointing. So I mean, you know, you hate that. But no, everyone else knows that. I know that. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
You always come up short.
Did you just go, ha, ha, ha?
Yes, I did. That's funny. That's a joke.
No.
But it's true. Humor can be found in the truth.
And it's true.
That's right. Oh. Let's go in.
It's an interesting nose. Huh. Huh. I tell you, it's a fucking nice drink. Rob's just sitting there with a Cheshire Cat grin.
Yeah, that's Nebbiolo. That's just a good, that's a really cool. Nebbiolo tastes like nothing else. It's the most wildly dry wine you've ever had. This thing is dry. This is like damp-rid dry, folks. Very dry. And you want austere? That's Nebbiolo, man. That's Barolo. You know, it opens up as it gets some age to it, but gee, it's dry. This wine doesn't have the body that you would normally associate with a Barolo, but it sure has some interesting nuances that are so unique to this region, to this varietal that are there.
If you like the driest of dry Merlots,
mm-hmm.
Let me introduce you to this. For a $20 Costco purchase, you can have a wine that will make you go,
oh yeah.
It's beyond Merlot dry. It's just,
it has such lovely Italian red wine character, which mm-hmm. is just so generic, but on the front palate.
You're saying generic, but it's not like saying this is a generic wine. You're just saying, in general, this is all those stereotypical classic
fruit notes,
Italian red wine.
But the back half, the mid, and the finish are bone ass dry and tannic. That is not something that you do experience quite often. This is a wine that you have to have drank and enjoy a myriad of different wines to want to drink and enjoy. Now, at this price point for this wine, the complexity isn't quite there. It just isn't.
Which is fine.
But the essence of Nebbiolo, the essence of Barolo, is represented in this wine sufficiently that you can get the impression of what Barolo is in its basic essence.
The finish of this wine is worth the price of admission. If this wine were priced $40, I would say the finish of this wine is worth the price of admission. Yes, it's not the most complex thing. I'm not certain you drink Barolo because you want the most complex wine.
Well, no. I think Barolo is great.
But you're drinking it for the construct and that tar tobacco thing and I think
you tell Gaja they're not complex.
I get it, but you're not gonna pull 20 different things out of a Barolo. You're gonna have 4, 5, 6 distinct things, which is fine.
No, great Barolo you might. Less, I mean, under $60-$70. No, I mean, normal purchasing Barolo under $100 even. No, you're not. But you go up in the price range because you can just throw money at a Barolo. I mean, that's what they're going to cost. You're going to find a lot more there. This is the thing. The Barolo is the brute to the elegance of the Sangiovese in Brunello. A Brunello is a big brute, but Sangiovese, as it ages, can be just a wonderful, like a beautiful carpet of gorgeousness and silkiness and just a wonderful integrated package, where this is a jackhammer of a powerful, strong wine. not strong in the way we are normally associated with Cabernet and whatnot, because there aren't these bold fruits. Everything is very lean and tight and compact, but it's hard, it's strong, it's well built. It's just very, very rigid and austere. You have to love austere, and I appreciate austere. I love a wine that is understated, but then has it where it counts. That's the beauty part. Something that is just so, it's like the person that's the loudest person in the room is the person you have to take the least serious, right? Well,
that's not this wine.
Yeah, this wine is the soft spoken but powerful person. You're like, I'm not gonna fuck with that guy over there, right there. He didn't say anything, but you're like, that guy could kick my ass. That's this wine to a certain degree. He's wearing a cheap shirt, but you know, you're like, you drive on his wrist like shit, but you can kick my ass. You know, you can scrap. That dude can scrap. That's this one. Superstar. Very small guy. Wins a lot of fights. He didn't start him, but he wins him. Maybe not now. He's a little old, but.
I'm going to say it again. The finish on this motherfucker right here is worth the price of admission.
Well,
it's long enough. It's not the longest thing, but man, beautiful tannic structure.
And the acidity plays off it so gorgeous. Really does. The mid palate, folks, is tobacco.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
but the astringency is the star of this one.
It really makes for a nice package. It's so unique. I think that 90% of people that drink wine would taste this and think it's off.
Quit talking about my package.
Nobody talks about that. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. It says,
Green eggs and ham.
His dick is served small.
On a platter.
So small. How small? It's small. So small. Not tall. It's small. Dick is small.
Trying to get us reclassified as child porn doing Dr. Seuss dick jokes.
But it's about an adult, but you know, not tall, but small. That's what it is.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? I'm just saying. I just wrote that book myself. Dr. Wilfred. I'm sorry. Physician's Assistant Wilfred. Yes. Scott's dick is small. That's the book. You can find it. If you want to Google it, folks, you can. You might find...
On your work computer?
I always do. I don't have a computer anymore.
You don't have a job.
That's the point. Yes, I don't have that, but still.
Well.
Apparently, you have to be careful what you Google. That's fine. You know?
Well.
Doing the incognito browser on your work computer.
Didn't work for you.
Well, if your boss is looking over your shoulder, he can't see what you're doing because you're in the incognito browser. That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's a safe way of doing
that. That's right. It's like you're wearing a mask when you do it. I always put like a mask on.
You should wear a mask.
Then my boss would see me wearing a mask and he'd walk over and look over my shoulder. But, I'm too smart for that. I had the incognito browser on.
And a mask.
And yes, and I was looking at porn. Hardcore pornography.
That's, you know, I know you like to get somebody behind you and tap on your shoulder, but that's not the right way to do that.
He didn't even know what to say, quite frankly.
I'm sure you're used to that.
You know what he said?
What did he say?
Why are you wearing a mask? So that told me he just didn't care about the pornography, but guess what? I was wrong. He saw that too.
Yeah.
I think, though, and I made this point.
You did?
That he looked at it a little bit longer than he should have, because it was clearly pornography. Illegal pornography, probably.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't really test it, but, you know, that's all right.
Oh, this wine.
Let's talk about the fruit.
It's minimal, but...
I think cranberry.
Rose water.
Okay.
Thank you, James Suckling. Sandalwood. Cranberry.
Sandalwood.
You've been watching my masterclass, haven't you? No, seriously. James would say all those things about this wine.
Well, James is a fucking moron.
That's true. There also is a very lean, tart raspberry.
I didn't get the raspberry.
It's lean, and it's right towards the finish. But underripe, but it's there.
Whatever that underripe fruit is, I think that's just a function of the acidity.
Oh!
Which just, it's so well placed. It just kisses in and kisses out.
Oh, my God.
But then the finish, it's just... You know who'd love this? Triple B. I think one, she likes Pinot. And I think she would appreciate the dryness of this.
Well, she would. I don't know that she would.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think we should find out. I think we should have a cameo.
Well, if she'll come down, don't ask her to.
I'll text her.
No, don't do that.
You're being selfish.
No, it's just...
You're being selfish.
She comes down and she talks about whatever, and then I have to do a Wilford thing and run her out.
You're not being very nice.
The people would love to have Triple B on the show. We even have the mic here for her.
Then why are you avoiding that?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, remember she said three strikes and you're out? She's just very anti.
She was talking about you.
In her defense, although she, over the weekend, we...
Wait, are you on the attack or are you providing defense? Make up your mind. If you're going to show two sides of the coin, you should maybe use one of the voices in your head for either side of the issue?
I don't really give a shit. On Sunday evening, when it was 95, because we didn't have AC, from Costco, I bought a very large piece of salmon, right?
Okay.
And so I did fresh rosemary, fresh thyme, fresh dill, and lemon slices. And I did it on the master thingy.
Yeah.
Right? And
tell me you zested the lemon. Tell me you zested the lemon.
I did, actually.
Yeah, you got to zest it first.
And so cedar plank in there. And so we did a Hartford... From California, Hartford, whatever it is, Russian River Valley, Pinot.
Oh.
Becky literally had like four glasses of that, I think. At least three. Great wine, by the way. Slightly drippy. Great Pinot. It was like $20 when I bought it from wine.com, but Hartford Court and the Hartford... Mm. I don't remember what... But they also do Pinot or Ridge or no, Zen. Good winery.
Really?
Great Pinot. Really love that. What did I do then Friday?
Hartford Ridge?
Hartford something. I don't recall.
Hmm.
Friday night. What the hell did I do? I did Dry Creek Zen one night. Friday night, though, I did... Oh, I did... did it a Bordeaux, perhaps? The Bellevue, or was that the week before? It all blurs together.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I drank. That's all I know. I drank and I enjoyed it.
Texted me Friday what you did, and I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember either. Maybe that was the Dry Creek Zen. That's her favorite. And she...
Hartford Court?
Hartford Court, that's what it is. Yes. Good wine. Very good wine. They're Pinot Noir, folks. The Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. If you can find it, it's normally 40, but if you can buy it for the 20.
That's what this is saying, $40, bro. I don't know where you got the 20.
I bought it for 20.
Really?
Yeah, wine.com. But at 40, folks, it's a nice buy. If you see it at 1989, buy a half a dozen.
I guess. The 1994 from Jeb Dunnick.
Mm-hmm.
92 from The Voice in Your Head. 92 from The Spectator.
Good point.
The 18, 95 of Jeb Dunnick's points. The 2017, 95 of Jeb Dunnick's points.
This was the 18.
I don't think you need to... wait for it to be $20. I think that sounds like a good wine at $40.
The 2018 was what I had. Great wine. Everything that you want from a California Pinot without any of the issues that you don't. Not a lot of Pinot funk, but if you're into that, it works. But Hartford Court, tip of the cap for that wine. Good job. This wine, though, big tip of the fucking cap.
Oh, my God. You know, another Costco wine. We've had some intermixed quality experiences.
Not from Europe.
Some good, some not so good.
We like the Siskel.
Yeah. There was the one of the European things that wasn't as good.
Which one?
Was it the Rhone? Did we do the
Rhone? We did the Côte d'Aron, but I don't recall that. It wasn't that memorable. The Rioja isn't great.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's a fine wine. It's $7-$8, which is nice. Their Chianti Classico is made by Via Cafaggio, and it's nice. It's not something that you're going to like necessarily wipe your pants over, but it's a good quality wine. The one that really I think is the fucking show stealer is their Bordeaux Superior for $6.99.
And that's a price issue thing. It's a good wine. That wine's not as good as this wine.
This is good. Oh, yeah. No, this isn't as good as like the Giggleness.
We really like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that.
I
don't know. Which I would prefer.
Oh, well, this, though, is really neat. This is a neat, neat wine. Because it's Barolo. It's not just Nebbiolo. Like, from any of the other places around.
So you've gone back. You said, I'm looking at this as a Nebbiolo, not a Barolo.
Well, I was originally.
Now you're in.
I was originally, but this is not like the lesser Appalachian Barolos. It's a little bit better than that.
Mikey, he likes it. No. Hey, Mikey, look, he like.
No, would you agree though? This is a little more serious than those.
Dude, this is spot on delicious, and ready to go. Ready to go. That I think. It's safe to say that many Barolos, if you open them too soon, you're going to be disappointed. It's not just that they're a good wine for aging and cellaring. They're made to be aged in cellar, and you shouldn't drink them young.
Yeah.
This one is wonderful young.
It's fun young. Would it be better with 4 or 5 years on it? Yeah, probably, but...
Wait, fun. I don't know that I would... use the phrase fun. I think
it's fun. This is fun to drink for me.
Okay. But you have voices in your head and you don't take your pills and you walk around in crusty sweatpants.
Why do you confuse me with him, Scott? I just, and I do take my pills. Trust me. You've been the benefactor of that many times. Trust me.
Oh, Jesus.
You do trust me, too. That's just like, wow. Why are you wearing a blindfold, Scott? And you said, I trust you. And I went, I don't trust me. I wouldn't do that.
Nobody trusts you.
And I made you take the blindfold off. It was strange. It was too much trust for me. You're a bit of a pervert. I know that. But, folks, for those that don't know, Scott is very modest, folks. He really is. But he is the world-renowned expert on Turkish pornography. It's very unusual. It's a niche thing. But he is an expert on Turkish pornography.
Wilfred just says that because he likes to stick his thing in Turkish coffees.
Well, that is one genre of Turkish pornography. Scott is aware of that. It's unusual.
No, you talk about it and you do it all the time, you freaking deviant.
Scott told me about that little subsector of kink in Turkish pornography. That's why I tried it out. And guess what? It hurts your dick because it's very hot, that coffee. Very hot.
You're still using the aloe? Does that help with the
It melted my pecker clean off, Scott. I got a Vlasic pickle and I just glued it on there. That's right.
Jesus.
I'm a little tart down there.
A little tart.
A little tart, yeah.
A dill?
Dill, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Not bread and butter?
No, those are too small.
Not a sweetened sour?
I said, if I'm going to put a pickle where my dick was, I'm at least going to upgrade it.
That's a good idea.
I got a big pickle.
Upgrade it when you can.
And I tell people, I got a big pickle. They're like, what? And then they realize it really is a pickle. By the way, I've had it on there for like 6 months. Pickles, they don't age. So
they don't?
It's an old pickle. not very nice.
They don't age.
I shouldn't have glued it on because it's hard. It's hard to switch out the pickle.
It's probably a bad decision.
But you use super glue. It hurts.
I'm surprised that they don't weather and wrinkle.
They do, but that kind of fits with the rest of me. But that's, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a mess down there. They said, Wilford, you're supposed to. But I don't want to talk about it. I blame your love and knowledge of Turkish pornography for all of it. So
I'm not the one who sticks my cock in a fucking Turkish coffee.
That's what they all say.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So,
off air,
yes,
the wine guy just put more sugar in a thimble of Turkish coffee than is humanly possible. When I asked him why, he said he was thinking about candying something, and he had a funny look on his face, folks. That's all I've got for you. I don't know what he had in mind. You can guess as well as I, but
you're making the suggestion someone's going to put their dick in a thimble, aren't you, Scott?
Well, if I knew it was that kind of party, I'd stuck my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Well, your dick fits in a thimble. That's all I know.
So, on tonight's potpourri, we are going to talk about how do you know when you truly love a wine? And a situation where you kind of walked into a wine and you went, oh, I didn't know this would happen. And you found love in that wine.
Sounds like an Art Garfunkel song.
No.
It's the lyrics.
Sounds like a Rihanna song. I found love in a hopeless place. Found love in a hopeless... Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rihanna.
That's not the same thing as what you said about the wine.
That's true, but still, you're a hopeless place, so go ahead.
Well, yeah. What's the theme here again?
I forget what I said.
I didn't know what you said either.
Name a moment. I'll just change it, folks. Don't rewind.
No, rewind it.
The second episode, folks. An element of a wine that lets you know that you love that wine, and a moment when that happened. Can't be this wine though. But this wine does inspire this question.
Well, for this wine...
In a wine you didn't expect, also. That's kind of the thing. There's some wines that you drink, you're like, I'm going to love this thing.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know,
in this wine, it was
Wilson Creek, and you're like, yeah, maybe...
Definitely, I'll... definitely, definitely the astringency that just...
Yes, but not this wine.
I'm just giving some perspective. The home run of unexpected was the Clarendon Hills. Season one. And it was a cellared wine, and this was when we were more out of control drunks.
I think sorry, that's season two. I just looked up. We wrote a two on that. It's season two.
I think at the bottom that says season one.
No, it says two at the top. There's a red two. It's scientific.
What's the S1 down at the bottom?
Oh, that would be season one. Okay, maybe it is season one. What's the two mean? What does the two mean then? I wonder what that means. I wrote that on there. I don't know what that means. There's threes and twos randomly written on things, and I don't know why. Isn't like that weird?
Bottle of Turley's got a three on it. And
that's got to be the season, right?
No, I don't.
But it's not written on every one of them.
Maybe.
It's kind of funny, folks. I'm looking at the board here, and I think that we probably have left off. I know that I see two wines from Italy that we never released. So Terra Bianca, which is a Super Tuscan, we never released that. And another one, Vitanza Brunello di Montalcino, we never released that. Those are two very nice bottles of Italian wine that you never heard us review, but they're both great wines. Terra Bianca, if you see it, buy it. It's a Super Tuscan. It's reasonably priced, yeah. Under $50. Wonderful wine. I haven't seen it in a while because I haven't looked for it, but next time I see it, I'm going to buy some. Love that wine.
But back to the concept. Clarendon, yeah. Hills, it was a cellared wine, and when Rob opened it and put it in the decanter, he thought it was spent.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on about our business. I don't know how much wine we had that night.
Yeah, too
but
much.
But we came back to it, and we went, as the Beastie Boys just said, oh, my God. And we literally said, oh, my God. And why it was a... Well, it fits in the category that Rob described of surprising or shocking or unexpected was we thought it was spent. Well, and then it was one of the most ethereal wine experiences of my life. For me, that was the first real aged wine experience where I went, oh, my God, I get it.
Well, that was like a 2003 Clarendon Hills. And the thing about Clarendon Hills, they were bought out. Who they bought by?
Constellation?
Yeah. This is pre-buyout. So this is back when they were a boutique-focused winery.
But again, they're still a boutique-focused, yeah, winery, and the original winemaker still makes wine there.
Yes. But now this same wine costs $40.
Higginbotham, maybe 50.
Yeah. It was a more expensive wine then. It was about $67. So it was a higher-level wine at that point. But... it was a magical wine. Folks, for a point of reference, those that enjoy French wines from Rhone, it's predominantly Grenache, this wine was. And it tasted like an excellent aged Châteauneuf du Pape. And so that's as high as praise as you can find. We just did, was that a Syrah from Clarendon Hills?
Yeah.
Lovely.
It was fantastic.
And that's not that expensive. It was like $40, right?
I don't remember the price point on that. You know, the Higginbotham may be more than that now.
I don't know. That being said, it was $61 a year. And we're talking, I would have bought it in 2008 or 7. So it was around that then. You know, given inflation, it's probably $1,000 now. I'm thinking back, when did I... when I know something's a great wine... is when it explodes in the palate and shows this infinite length. We've had a couple wines like that that just have really just exploded. One, the first one is the Domaine du Bagau Châteauneuf du Pape. And what was it, the 1998 vintage?
Yeah, but you were, so you're getting up to ask. The story we were trying to tell tonight is surprises, unexpected.
Oh, you're right.
Unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Unexpected explosions.
Well, you understand.
In your mouth.
Well, that happens a lot.
I bet it does.
In the Tamarack. Now, wait a minute. Well, that's true. You did qualify that because the fact of it was spent, correct?
That's what we thought. You know, we were surprised when we came back to it, and turned out it was freaking amazing.
Well, you know, one wine I'll go to, it's a little bit unusual, but, and it's kind of to a lesser degree, Wagner. Their reds, their Cabernet Franc and their Cabernet. We just did their Cabernet a few months ago. Those wines, in the right conditions, not at the winery, in heat, on their deck, with beer slushies next to you, at the right cellar temperature, with the acidity died down, make this wonderfully drinking wine. How do I know it's good? Because it tastes like Cabernet, and it has all the elements. Sometimes you don't need something that tastes like Harlan. If something's classic, it's dry, all the parts are in the right place, sometimes that's enough to be happy.
Well, not just that, but
competency I think is rare.
Competency, but when it's in a good, well-made, straightforward presentation, you don't always have to have a wine that's got nine different things going on. Complexity isn't everything in wine. Sometimes wine is, this is the varietal, make it straightforward and just make it so that it's that varietal perfectly.
Well, that works, especially if
you... That's what I love about Wagner.
Well, if you enjoy and love and appreciate the varietal, Green and Red and Zinfandel...
Oh, God.
...does that. They capture Zin so well. I mean, so well. We love Turley. Turley is a little bit more of a Siegfried and Roy kind of... They're a little bit different.
Let's not compare them.
No, no. Because they're Green and Red... isn't Siegfried and Roy. Green and Red is, here is Zinfandel, the grape. We are going to make the best version that expresses Napa to its umpteenth, but it's going to be absolutely, unabashedly classic Zinfandel. Yeah. We're not going to say, you know what? We want our Zinfandel to emulate more of a cab because we want it to appear to be more ageable. We want it to... No. All they do is make a wine that is quintessential Zinfandel, the varietal.
I'll give you two examples, one little over the top, of smaller producers from not the greatest regions where we were surprised by them.
Okay.
And they were really good experiences. What was the maker of that cab from Long Island?
Brotherhood.
We really liked that.
It's not a bad wine, no.
And it fit in with what we were talking about, Wagner.
It's a little little bit lighter, but it's dry. Yes. It has all the elements that you're looking for.
It wasn't this full-bodied thing.
No.
And it was straightforward. It wasn't the most complex. But it was really good. It was from fucking Long Island.
You knew it was Cabernet.
You did. We did. The other one, again, similar category, except... surprised and unexpected because we wanted to destroy it and it was fucking good. It was the Trump.
The Trump from Virginia. Yeah.
It really was good.
Yeah. It was. It was more of a Bordeaux style, which
we like.
Gives it more points. It got high 80s. It was like 14, 15 bucks.
I don't remember.
That's all it was.
I thought it was a gift.
Someone gave it to you, but it was because they thought you aligned with his politics.
How did they give it to you?
It was your cousin.
Oh, was it my bottle?
Although your cousins probably know me and like me better than you.
So I don't remember.
That would make sense.
It was a long time ago.
But it was like $14.99. And at that price, it was a wine worthy of a case purchase. It was that good. It was austere, once again. Austere is so wonderful. For some people that appreciate wine, that love wine, austere is this term that is so unappreciated by Naomi Joe or, you know, so many other Columbia Crest, quite frankly.
Like I quote Andre
Or Seven Hills. Or Seven Hills.
Oh, Jesus. He's drunk, folks. I quote Andre.
I was actually throwing up when I was talking. So
throw up in your own mouth. I quote Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it does.
I don't think Andre said that.
Absolutely said that.
He didn't. It was a different character, but that's okay.
It's, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But.
You think Vicente said that?
Yes.
No.
He did. Because I saw a YouTube video of him saying that, but that's okay. But, yeah. So many good memories. And bad memories, but, you know.
Surprise. Come on. I'm coming up with the surprises. Where's your surprise, sir?
I talked about Wagner. It was a surprise.
That's one.
I have to have more than one?
Yeah.
Green and Red was a surprise.
Not really. We expected it to be good.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Oh, man. Something I expected to be bad that was good.
Or just unexpected. Not necessarily you expect to be bad.
There were some wineries that I didn't have any expectations on. I didn't have any expectations on Gunlock Bunchu.
I think that's a great example. It became There's a couple things that have just become these go-tos, and we didn't know necessarily anything about them. Now, do we like Sonoma? Yeah, we kind of like
do.
Sonoma.
Yeah, we do.
We like kind of like Sonoma in its price point, but did we expect it to be this thing that I'll always buy that?
That's a really solid buy at $20.
I will always buy Gunlock Bunchu.
Mountain Cuvée, yeah.
It's freaking fantastic.
And I like their Sonoma Cab at 52.
The other one that's in a similar category, and it's not that it was unexpected because we didn't think it was going to be good or not. It's just how good it is and how consistent it is. Fucking Marietta, man.
Marietta's one.
Pick your Marietta.
El Enemigo.
Okay.
The Chardonnay from El, what is it? El Enemigo or Amigo, whatever the fuck Becky said it was. El Enemigo. I don't remember the correct pronunciation, but their Chardonnay from Argentina was, and it's Chardonnay, folks. Scott and I absolutely flipped over that wine.
It was great.
But their Bernardo was great. Their Malbec was great. Their Cab Franc was great.
Our first listener suggested wine was Apaltagua.
Yes.
And that has to fit in this category because...
Mm-hmm.
That's another one we just fell in love with.
That was Douglas. Douglas recommended that.
It was just fall in love with good.
And thank you, Douglas, for that.
And I think those early vintages were freaking home runs. And there's been, I don't want to say some ups and downs, but you go vintage to vintage, it's a little different. But holy Christ, was it 13s, 14s when we were first on it?
Oh, I don't know. And that's the thing, listeners, don't be shy. Recommend a wine. We love that. We've had that many times, and we love to try what you suggest. It's fun, and quite frankly, we must have good listeners because good taste because they don't normally. We've never tasted one that was shit. They've all been good. You know, it's like wow, good idea. I'm going to buy a lot of that. Thank you. This is the thing. Think of this: the Wine Vault as a community. You're listening to the show, A, because you have a very dark sense of humor, but B, because you love wine, and also because you know wine.
If you want to know wine.
I've conversed with several of our listeners. They all have a very good understanding. They don't know that they do, but they do.
Right.
They are people that really are interested in wine, and that's awesome. Because, you know what? That was all of us at one point.
Yeah.
It was me at like 20, but that's not the point. It's a long time ago, but still.
Last week.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm 21, plus a few years.
I'm gonna close it out with one.
What?
The Boozer from Uruguay.
Oh, that was. We had Uruguayan wines before.
Uruguayan wines like that.
Well, nobody. Another one though, the Carlisle Mourvèdre. We know Carlisle's a great wine,
but the fucking Mourvèdre.
But do we think that would be that good?
We love Mourvèdre, and it's like
the Gordo Verde, or no, the Gordo, the whatever.
But see. We have that in my house all the time, so that wasn't as expected for me. The Carlo Mourvèdre is a great example because we expected a level of quality from the Carlisle, and it's. I'm gonna give another example of a surprise from a premium producer, but the Mourvèdre, we were like, when I bought it was like, okay, we'll try Mourvèdre. We love Mourvèdre, but a California Mourvèdre, we're like. Who does that? And then it was like...
It was better than Spanish Mourvèdre.
It was like change your fucking life better than Spanish Mourvèdre.
It's a world-class wine.
And then when the Carlisle release came out, my cousin opened it before I did, and he's like, they didn't offer the Mourvèdre. And I was just as disappointed because I thought... Well, maybe they didn't offer as much as me, even though I'd never ordered from Carlo or them one other fucking time. No, it turns out they don't make it every year.
Yeah.
We knew that, but it's like...
Remember the Ridge Three Valleys? That was another one that was surprised us. We knew Ridge was good, but that was a really great one.
Very similar. This is the one. I think we close with this one.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Wait. I've got the last one.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We love Turley. We love fucking Turley.
All right.
The one that fits into the surprising category is the fucking white coat.
I don't think so.
That was unbelievably good. So you expected it to be that good?
No, I just didn't think it was that good.
Oh, God. You're a fucking dick.
That one vintage was really good. I've had it many times, and I enjoy it.
You've had it many times?
Like five.
Oh, Lord.
That's many. I know. Scotch.
It's five times that I brought it over. It was all the same vintage.
You keep bringing it over.
It's fucking great.
I know. Not as good as Wilson Creek. I had to read it off the piece of paper, but it's pretty good. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2019 Kirkland Signature Barolo by
Fontana Freda.
Good job, because I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Which is
a second.
Premium Barolo producer, and they made wine here that
I'm not sure. They've been around a long time.
They're good.
We found them. Does that make them premium?
I don't know. They did something decent for $20 here.
I would say more than decent.
Well, what do you say numerically, Scott?
So, again, my biggest impression of this wine is that astringency that just freaking wipes you away. It just blows you away. It's just so good.
Oh,
but it's that now isn't the predominant characteristic for me. What I love now is the tannic structure of the wine. It's don't get me wrong, it's not a lean wine, but in the Italian sense, it's got a lean structure. And when that tannic backbone races through from the mid-palate to the finish, that's the star of this wine for me. It's got some subtlety. The acidity is wonderful. That cranberry, what'd you call it, Rob? Like a underripe raspberry.
Yes.
I think that's the acidity kissing through. The tar tobacco thing. Not the strongest you'd expect from a Barolo. Nonetheless, it's specific to the varietal. This has to start with a 9. I'm going to go 91 of my points. That might be a little high. I can live with it. I really like this wine. And you know, you're not supposed to take price into consideration, but holy shit, this is a ready-to-drink Barolo that's worthwhile, and go to Costco and buy it. If you don't have the membership, have your buddy buy it for you. Your girlfriend next door, the neighbor, you know, she brags about the Costco peanuts. Ask her to pick you up 3 bottles of this.
I didn't buy it. My buddy bought it for me.
God bless
him. I paid him back. Although I'm a member. I will give this wine 90 of my points. I think that this is a fun wine to me.
Yeah, I don't think most people are going to call it fun. It's in our wheelhouse. We like it. It's fun for us.
I texted my buddy that bought this bottle for me, and I said, 95% of people would hate this. I'm the 5%. I love it. Because...
Do you really think so?
Yeah, Scott, it's too dry. It's too, I mean, all of the astringency, everything that you're loving about this wine, which I love too, because I think it's such a wonderful thing. You never see it. It's just great. These are things that are unique elements to wine that you and I love. We love it, Scott.
Yeah,
we love it.
100%.
But everybody else would say, what is wrong with this?
But except I'm going to finish your review and I'm going to sell our listeners on why they would like it.
Well, that's fine. They should love it, assuming that they love wine. But if you're drinking Elowan, you don't. This is the thing. If you drink wine, quite frankly, you should expect... Wine is not... It's wine o'clock somewhere. Those kind of fucking memes. I hate that shit. Wine is an art.
Wine down with the wine?
Yes. Wine, yeah, whatever. Wine is an artistic expression of the winemaker. It's not beer. It's art, in my opinion. I look at great Bordeaux, great Burgundy, great Barolo, great Rioja. These great, great wines. I look at them artistically. The painting that they paint with their flavors, their structure, their textures, is so amazing that you can see something or feel something from the mosaic, that palette of the wine. We don't even use the term palette with wine, right? I mean, it's a canvas that you're experiencing. You don't with cheaper wines. You're just saying, whatever, it's fruity. What? No. Great wines, you are experiencing a work of art, something that's historic. You know, say you have a classic Bordeaux that is from a classic vintage, from a classic producer. They got 100s, right? Say you paid $2,000-$3,000 for that.
That's just dumb.
But no. That wine is a masterpiece to wine people. All right? Would you agree to that, Scott?
I don't know.
So you had a classic vintage of Haute Brion, right?
Okay.
And you paid $2,000 for it. That's a lot of money for a bottle of wine, right? Okay. So you experienced, though, a wine masterpiece. A masterpiece of art. Something that you can never replicate ever. Right? How much does the Mona Lisa cost?
There's no price on the Mona Lisa.
Okay. You had $2,000.
It's irreplaceable.
But you just spent $2,000 on a masterpiece of wine. So you start thinking about if wine is art, which I think when you get to a certain degree of quality, you are in an artistic space, other than Alison Krauss. If you look at the price as a once in a lifetime experience, how often? I've never seen the Mona Lisa, right? It would cost me more than $2,000 to go see the Mona Lisa. I don't really don't care to see the Mona Lisa. But if I drank a classic vintage of Haute Brion or Lépine, which would cost more than $2,000, but that's okay. I would have the same money in it, but I would still have the same magical experience, but something that's more, you know, appreciable to me.
Hopefully.
So think of it in that term. If wine is art, how much is $20?
Nothing.
How much is $90? Nothing. How much is $190? It's nothing. It's nothing. Because if you buy a bottle of wine that ages reliably for 35, 40 years, right? That is art that you have for 35, 45 years. You drink it. You have this magical experience. You could keep the bottle as a remembrance. It's art. You know, right now, I have our classic bottle sitting up there that we've loved. Mm-hmm. There are wines up there that you're like, wow, cool. You drank that. Awesome. The bottle itself is art because of what was in it, right?
And I think, another thing is the experience.
You know?
I'm not sure what you're experiencing now with the Turkish coffee that has to be cold. Must be crystallizing you.
Scott likes it when he's in an art gallery looking at paintings for somebody to give him a hand job right there when he's there. I don't know why. I've never indulged in that, but I know James Suckley was looking for money, so I don't want to say that he did that, but I don't know that he didn't. I wasn't there.
I was there because I watched and I recorded it and I watched it 5 more times.
How much did he pay you?
It's VHS though, so nobody else has VHS. So.
Well, it could have been beta.
I know. I don't have that. I did record it. Scott, I'm surprised you didn't see it because I had the big fucking, like the big recorder on my shoulder. And then, you know, I had such an old one. I had to bring along the VCRs that you plug in the camera to. So I had this bag full of VCRs that I thought you would have seen that. But you didn't. You were too busy getting a hand job.
Well,
looking at a $50 painting.
50?
Well, kind of. You were at the Radisson.
Radisson.
Starving Artist.
Starving Artist series.
It's like Scott's getting a hand job at the Radisson looking at a Starving Artist painting. Scott, you can get a hand job anywhere, Scott.
Thank you.
I didn't know which was sadder.
Glad you allow me.
Scott getting a hand job from James. Scott getting a hand job at the Radisson from James, or Scott going to the Radisson to look at art while getting a hand job. But I realized Scott going to the Radisson to look at art was the saddest part of the whole equation. You know, it was his choice. You know, it's pathetic.
Were you there by choice or doing what?
I heard that.
You heard they had good Turkish coffees?
I heard somebody's getting a hand job, so I came to record that shit.
Of course you did.
It's like, wow, at the Radisson? Wow, that normally happens at the La Quinta Inn. And by the way, folks, Duke's mayonnaise is the best mayonnaise to masturbate with, just to remind you.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Back to the wine.
So go buy Duke's mayonnaise. No, I'm sorry, Scott.
Back to the wine.
That's all the show we've got tonight. Duke's mayonnaise is the closer.
Back to the wine.
I know.
Here's why. Here's why our listeners will appreciate this. I think stylistically, this has something to offer to two drinkers of specific varietals.
All right.
If you like Merlot, you're going to love the astringency of this.
It's too much astringency for you.
No. I think Merlot drinkers will like this because
what Merlot are they drinking?
Second class. Second varietal specific.
What is
drinkers
that? Second class?
The second, as in Merlot was the first. I'm giving a second example, like one and two, like more than one.
But what Merlot drink? What Merlot are they drinking that you'll like? No.
Pinot drinkers, I think, will appreciate this wine. I think it has some characteristics. The lithiness about it. It's not, it's a leaner, it's not a full bodied wine, and just put it in the Pinot glass. I think Pinot drinkers could appreciate this in a similar way they drink Pinot.
So back to the question. What
Merlot do you want them to drink?
I don't know.
Any astringent Merlot.
Like which one?
Name one. Pick one.
You're the one that said that.
Merlot's known for being astringent. It doesn't matter which
Blackstone?
One. If you like Merlots, I think you'll like this.
You've had Calibrate Merlot, right? fans of that?
You're trying to pick out the worst of the worst.
Fans
Merlots.
Of that fuck their sister, right? You know that, right?
I'm talking
He
about,
knows that. Trust
I'm talking
me.
About good Merlot. That's a good astringent typical of the varietal Merlot. I think they'll appreciate that. So I, listeners.
Not Calibrate.
Don't listen to the wine guy. He's a
sister
dumb,
fucker.
I think this is a wine that would have mass appeal to our listeners. I think he undervalues your ability to appreciate wines.
No, I just think Scott's
depreciate?
I think Scott's a dipshit. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy.
You're a dipshit.
I know. And Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu.
You're going to spill the Turkish coffee again.
No, Scott. That's a tub. That's a gallon tub of Duke's mayonnaise, and I'm going to fuck it.
So with that, we're going to bid you adieu. Here on the Wine Vault, good night.